We're king. It's been me.
Hey guys, let's have a chat. I'm Eliza.
And I'm Sarah, and today we're going to be talking about money saving hacks.
Woo! I don't know any, so Sarah, go ahead.
We thought we'd just give you guys a little life update first. So Eliza, what has happened in your life over the past fortnight?
Look, nothing. Can you hear me?
Yeah, a little. You sounded a bit like crackly for a second. Is your mic plugged in?
Is it better now?
Yeah, it's a little bit better now. Yeah.
Okay. So basically, we're doing our play for my outside of school drama thing. And I don't know why I say it like that. And I hate when people do that. And it's coming up in about 2 months and I am just really unprepared, so I've been a bit stressed about that. But that's okay. So that's about it. What about you, Sarah?
Love it. Well, actually, I don't know what's happened in the last few weeks. Kind of everything's been a bit here and there. I turned 18 like almost a month ago now, so been driving down the roads a bit more by myself.
Not a month, like 3 weeks, Sarah. Don't add.
Okay, 3 weeks. 3 weeks, and I was just rounding it up to a month, but okay. I've been driving around the roads a bit. It's been lots
of fun. How's the alcohol consumption going?
It's going great. Have not actually consumed any since I've turned 18 because I've literally been driving everywhere and you cannot, like, have any alcohol in your system when you were driving.
On your red peas.
On your red peas. Are you allowed on your green peas?
I don't think so either.
Yeah. So on your peas, you can't have any alcohol in your system. And if they're doing, like, blood tests or not blood tests, you know, the mouth breathing tests on the side of the road and you get pulled over and you found to have alcohol in your system, you get fined lots of money, and I just don't have the money for that. Yeah, which is even worse because then you have to go through the test all over again. So rip that.
You have to do the test again, really?
Actually, I don't know. Oh, no, you probably wouldn't have to.
For like 6 months or something.
And then you get it back.
Oh, or a year. It's a long time.
Oh, and I just started driving as well. So last thing I want to do is jeopardize that. Exactly. Well, we might then move into some little money-saving hacks. I'm sure Eliza might be able to help out along the way with a few of hers because...
Let me just give you a little rundown.
Okay.
On mine and Sarah's financial situations. I'm not going to go too specific. But basically, Sarah has a lot more money than I do because Sarah knows how... Can you hear me?
Oh, you just went out then.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
What did you hear?
All I heard was Sarah knows how, and then you went out, and now you're a bit crackling.
I don't know why it's doing that.
Hmm.
How about now? Is that better?
Yeah, it's a bit better.
Okay, so basically, let me start again.
Yeah.
Sarah knows how to save money. I don't know how to save money. So Sarah has a lot more money. And I mean, that's pretty much the gist of our financial statuses.
Love it. Well, now you've got a little insight into our financial statuses. As Eliza said, I do know how to save my money. And actually what I got taught, which has really helped, when I got a job, was to put 80% in saving and 10% in spending and then 10% in tithing, which is the money that I give, like, to our church every week. You could even just give money to a charity every week as a part of that. You don't even have to.
And can I also quickly say
that
something that works for Sarah might not work for someone else, and something that works for me might not work for Sarah because, as Sarah said, that's what works for her, but that didn't work for me. So I was just keeping that in mind.
Yeah. And so you can always, like, you can change these percentages around. As you get older, you're going to need to start paying for rent and groceries and all this other stuff. So you've got to factor in that. You've also got to factor in fuel and all that type of thing. So, like, the categories that you spend money on each week depends on you and your situation. And you get also change the percentages you want to spend on that category each week as well.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, well, that's another thing is as I've turned 18 and I've got a car, one of the tips my parents gave me was to open up an account and put $50 in each week just for fuel, just for any car expenses I might have. Put it in every week. And so if it comes to like my car needs a service or something happens and, you know, it needs fixing unexpectedly, then I have that money set aside for that. And that's another thing is registration each year is like $500 or $1,000 or it's something like it's a decent amount of money and you've got to pay it every year. And it comes round and you're suddenly like, oh, that you've just got to fork out all this money for it. So if I have that money set aside for it, and that has really helped me, and I only started doing it like maybe the start of this year or something. So not even like the whole time I've been working, but since I started being like, oh, hang on, I'm going to have a car soon and I'm going to have those expenses associated with a car. So far since then, putting $50 aside every week into this account, I've got almost $1,400 in this account. So that's what's really helped me. Even if it's, you know, a small amount, if it's, you know, a bigger amount, either way. Yeah, I've only been doing this since this year. I just looked through my account and, you know, I've got that much. And it's just really helped me because, you know, at the end of the year when registration comes, I have that money. Fuel is also like not cheap as well.
Do
you
pay your fuel from that account?
Well, that is the thing, is this account isn't attached to a card. So if I need to pay fuel, I just transfer the money from this account into onto my card.
Yeah.
But one of the good things that I worked out with my parents was that because I'm driving my brother around like to work, to church, other things, when there's a situation where both of us are going, I'll usually be driving him around. And because we have like a smaller house as well, we don't have a lot of room to park our cars. So we always have one car parked in our carport and one car parked behind, and then my dad's car outside our house. But with the cars out of the cars, my car and my mum's car parked in the carport, whoever's car's at the back is the one we usually use. So it means sometimes my car gets used to go down to the shops to grab groceries or to go somewhere quickly just because it's at the back and it's easier to get out rather than pulling my car out, trying to drive my mum's car out, all that type of thing. So what they've said is while I'm driving my brother around, they're happy to contribute to my fuel. And especially because, you know, they're using the car as well sometimes when it's at the back, they're happy to contribute to my fuel if I'm obviously not going round to Uluru and back in the meantime, just driving around anywhere for the sake of it. But like, as well as it's places that I actually need to go, like, you know, work, all that type of thing. And as well, if I'm driving my brother around, they're happy to contribute to it. So I haven't actually had to use any of that money yet, which is really good because fuel is like, oh my gosh, we're spending.
It's getting really expensive lately.
Literally, we're spending like $40 to fill up like half my tank or something.
Yeah. It's
like two-thirds of my tank. And we're like, oh my gosh, like if I'm paying this every week, I literally would have needed that $50 going into my account every week. Like, it's insane. But that's one thing I'd suggest doing is when you get towards turning 18, put money in an account aside for, you know.
If you want to do a car.
If you want to do it.
But the other thing that's important to factor in is doing, if you, like, so, for example, Sarah gets paid every week. I get paid every fortnight.
Yeah.
So, like, maths-wise, that would mean I would put in $100 a week. But, like, a fortnight, but that might not work for my like finances, like for bills I have to pay, like my phone and stuff like that. And so it's just about like making like what works for you, which isn't obviously helpful because you just want someone to give you an answer, and I completely understand that. But you just honestly have to experiment and try what works for you. A quote that someone told me was, which actually kind of has helped me, but I'm still really bad at saving, is, girl, don't be fake rich now and real poor later. I'm pretty sure I've shared that on the podcast before. But basically what it's saying is like when you like go to the shops and like buy all these things and like maybe it's your parents' money or like you're borrowing money from your savings account or something and like buying all these things and you're your friends are like, oh my gosh, you have so much money, like how can you keep buying stuff? And, like, that's her being fake rich. Not, like, fake rich, because obviously, like, we're a pretty rich country, but you know what I mean. And then, like, one day, like, you'll just completely run out of money and then you will be not poor poor because you still have a roof over your head, but you understand the quote.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's everyone's living situation is different. Everyone has, you know, different things that they need to spend their money on. For me, because of that, like, house I grew up in and stuff, obviously we are nowhere close to rich. But you know, we're able to live. Yeah, exactly. We're able to live, you know, comfortably enough with a roof over our head. And because of that, I haven't had to spend too much money, you know, on, like, paying rent or all this other stuff up until now, at least. When I move our house, obviously I will have to pay for rent and pay for groceries and all that stuff, which will, you know, it will add up to a lot and take a lot of my money out. And I know people that are living out of their home and they've got to pay for rent and groceries, and it takes, you know, pretty close to almost their whole paycheck. And so, you know, obviously they can't be saving like 80% of their money and stuff.
Yeah.
What I found for me though, if I just did from when I started up at 18, I remember on my very first paycheck, all I wanted to do was buy a Kathmandu puffer jacket. And I am literally wearing that same puffer jacket now as I'm recording this 3 years later, and it has served me so well.
How much are they? Like $400?
That was, I got it for $150. It was half price at the time.
Oh, wow.
So it was like, I remember it was
I remember when I thought $150 was a lot of money.
Oh my gosh, literally. Even still now, like I'm $150 is like the max I'll pay for most. That's usually what I pay for like shoes at max.
And I buy 100%.
Oh my gosh, like I do not buy. I see people buying like $200 jackets and stuff, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I mean
like $150 was just a lot for my possession to have, but I'm not spending $150 on clothes.
Or yeah, like, exactly.
I mean, maybe in one day, but not one item.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh my gosh, a day at the DFO easily could spend that. If I had the money at the time,
a day at Cotton On. Like, oh my gosh. $1,000
out the drain. Oh my gosh. I'm surprised how I never, that's the thing is I always used to go for sales. That's another tip is when you're going to stores and stuff, have a look at the sales sections. I know it may seem like, oh, you know, you want to look at the full price stuff, but like have a look at the sales section, see if there's anything, you know, that you like that's, you know, half the price or something. And one of the things I have done is if I found something that I really liked that was, you know, full price, I remember once I found like a pair of pants I like for $40 or whatever. And I was like, okay, I like them, but like, I don't just want to buy them. Like now I might just see if they come on sale. And so like, you know, a month later I waited and they still hadn't come on sale. And it was getting to like, you know, the start middle of winter. And I was like, okay, look, I really want these pants. So once I thought about it for a while, I was like, okay, I'm happy to spend the money because I'm not just going there on the day and buying them straight away. Like I've actually wanted these pants for, you know, quite a while now, that type of thing. So, actually something I'm doing at the moment, I'm doing economics in uni and recently we've been talking about opportunity cost.
I did that last year.
It's basically the cost of what the next best choosing the next best alternative would have been, choosing like your option over the next best alternative. So say, you buy, you know, the $40 pair of pants, that's your first option. But then the next best alternative is say like this
$30 pair of pants.
Yeah. Like them as much and you didn't think you'd wear them as much. And so it's like weighing up those two pairs of pants and look at, do I buy, you know, the best one, or do I, you know, go the next best one, which, you know, isn't the best one.
And also in that situation, like if it's $10 difference and you genuinely don't like the cheaper ones, don't just waste your money on something that you're not going to wear. Like if you genuinely think that you will wear the $40 ones more, I would say go for those ones because you don't want to just keep buying cheaper things that will eventually you won't even wear and they'll just add up more to more money.
So that's what I've done a lot in the past is like if I see a sale or something, I'll get it. And then it just ends up sitting in my closet for a few months because I don't end up wearing it. I just saw it was on sale and went, oh, $5, $10 for a top. That's a bargain, you know, yada, yada, yada. I'll buy it. And I just haven't worn it. But I bought on the day because it's a sale. So that's another thing is when you buy stuff on sale, even though it is a bargain, like think about it. Would you have bought it in the first place if it was like full price, or are you actually going to wear it?
Yeah, exactly.
Even though just because it's on sale doesn't mean you have to buy it.
And something that is also good to keep in mind is like in I find it hard to save when I don't really have a saving goal in mind, if I'm just saving for the sake of saving, because it doesn't like seem worth it almost. And so something that is helpful is try to think of something that you actually want to save for, whether it's big or small, because that will help motivate you to save. But then also, like, if you're at the shops and you're like, oh my gosh, I really want that, trying to think and like weigh it up, like, do I actually want this jumper now, or would the car be better in 6 months? So it's thinking about like it's weighing them up and trying to work out actually which one do I want more.
Yeah.
And sometimes also because when we buy new things, it like pushes a button in our mind, which is, I can't remember what it's called. What's that thing that's like happiness?
Endorphin. Serotonin?
It gives you serotonin for a short amount of time. And that's why we crave shopping and buying new things, because it makes us feel like happiness.
Yeah.
And like depending on the thing, like it can, like for me, it, like if you buy a new phone or something, that happiness kind of lasts for a little bit longer. But if it's just like a new jumper, it kind of lasts for less longer. And so it's just remembering that, like, trying to get like that happiness from a different source rather than from buying stuff, because often like I don't necessarily need this thing that I'm buying, but like I'm trying to fill like a happiness void in my mind to make me feel better, so I buy it anyway.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest things for me in that sense is typo notebooks. Oh my gosh, I love notebooks. I see, that's the problem, is I have a love-hate relationship, because you're always gifted, as a girl at least, I found that I've been gifted so many notebooks over the years, and some of them are like lovely, some of them are, oh my gosh, I love them. But at the same time, I literally have 25 notebooks that I can see in one drawer. I have over 50 notebooks at this point, and I've literally separated them into two drawers. One drawer, which is notebooks that, you know, are brand new, whether they're given to me or I bought them and I'm just never going to use them, and I can actually use, like, as presents to other people. not like any notebooks that people have, you know, given me that I treasure. I keep them. But then I literally have, because I'm like, I can't get, and I've literally had to tell myself, like, I can't get myself any more notebooks because I have so many notebooks. I have,
you
like,
better not give away that potato one.
Oh, no way. That's gone in my top drawer straight away. I'm just meaning like any little generic one or something, or not that I'm going to give away, but like ones that I can use for other things.
Yeah, I get you.
But like I've literally had to separate them because I've had, like, there are ones that I start writing in, and so I have a section of new notebooks, a section of ones that I've written in. And so the problem is I just have so many, and because like Eliza got me one that is amazing. It's like potatoes can be all these things, so can you. And it has
potatoes.
Exactly. And there's like vodka, mashed potato, jacket potato, roast potato, chips, hash brown. and it is, oh my gosh, it is amazing. And like, I love that. And like, I have another notebook with fried chicken. I usually have a habit of, if I see like notebooks with food on it, like that is a strong incentive for me to get it, or a meme or something. So literally half my notebooks have memes on them, and it's like, I need to, even though I will feel serotonin, and you know, I'll feel all happy and stuff, it adds to my already like 50 notebook plus collection that I have got enough notebooks, and while it feels good at the time, am I actually going to use it long term? No.
Probably not. Last tip that I have is when you are going to the shops to get something that you need, like actually, if you actually need to go and buy like new runners, or like you actually have to go and get groceries or whatever, mm-hmm. like write down a list and only allow yourself to buy the things that are on your list. Like if you go there and you see some jelly beans or something and you're like, oh, I want them, but they're not in my list, just don't get it, because you make a rule for yourself, oh, it's not on my list, I'm not going to get it. And try to make the list really specific. Like, don't just write lollies, because then you could buy a heap of lollies, but just write down like really specific things that you need, because that will allow you to like limit yourself. And then if you see something and you're like, oh, I want that, then that allows you to go home, think about it for a few days, and then maybe put it on a list for another day once you've actually thought about it and you realize, oh yeah, I do want this. Because sometimes like you buy something and then a couple of months later you're like, I would prefer that $20 right now, you know?
Yes. And there's another thing is when I went down to the supermarket, like when I go down and stuff, I'll see stuff that's on sale that obviously if I just go for like, you know, something I need for home, say a pack of flour, and I go down and see like chocolate or something on sale, I'll be like, oh my gosh, I'll get it because it's
on
sale.
And that's what the shops do to draw you in.
Oh, so much bread rock jelly chips, any of those, like all that type of thing. And so looking at it and going, hang on, if I just came down, you know, for what was here on my list, or do I even have this item at home? Half the time I have the items at home as well that I've bought before. I just don't think about it because it's not in sight.
So, yeah, true.
Yeah, I think looking at those things might help you save money a little bit. And I would say even if you draw up for yourself, I'd recommend drawing up how you're spending your money each week, whether you're working. It may be like me where you have a paycheck that comes in every week. You may be like Eliza where it's every 2 weeks. Some people I know even have paychecks once a month. And looking at how to budget that suits your needs. Because there's no point if you're doing it that's following someone else's. Like, that's great, but it needs to be realistic for you to actually work. So whether there's any money to savings, I would try, and my advice would be to put at least like 20% into savings a week if you can afford that. Just because at least now at a young age, while we're not having to pay for many bills and stuff, like it is achievable, whereas as you get older and you have to start paying for bills and groceries and fuel and all this stuff, like you don't get as much chance to put like savings away and stuff. So I'd recommend while you're young, if possible, and it's achievable, to at least start putting a little bit of money into savings when you can.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, guys, we hope you have enjoyed the episode and all these tips, and let us know by email or on Instagram if you have any more tips that you think would be helpful and that we can share to our followers or just keep to ourselves. So you can contact us through our email at letsaveourchocpodcast@gmail.com, and you can send us through things that you would like advice on, or you can send us through different money-saving tips if you would like.
Yes, love it. Well, as always, we'll Avo chat with you next week.